नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम द 8th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 7 entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, text number 43 to 46. Text 43. Mashah yachakar gale neelam tachcha sadhur vibhushanam. As if in defamation, the poison born from the ocean of milk manifested its potency by marking Lord Shiva's neck with a bluish line. That line, however, is now accepted as an ornament of the Lord. Text 44. Tapyante lokatapena katapena sadhava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanaha. Tapyante. Translation. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in everyone's heart. Purport. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:869, Yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu abhidhasyati nacha tasman manushyeshu kashchin me priyakrittamah. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Tasyaiva hetoh prayatet kovido nalabhyate yat bhramatam uparyadha. Bhagavatam 1:5:18. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Again, as stated here, tapyante lokatapena sadhavah prayasho janaha. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Bhagavad Gita 4, 7 and 8. All the Shastras conclude therefore that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. Text 45. Nishamya karma tachambhor deva devasya midhusaha prajadakshayani brahma vaikunthas chashamsire. Upon hearing of this act, everyone including Bhavani, the daughter of Maharaj Daksha, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and the people in general very highly praise the deed performed by Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and who bestows benedictions upon the people. Text 46. Praskanan pivatah paner yatkinchi jagrihusmatat vrishchikahi vishaushadhyo dandau shukas chaye pare. Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs and other animals whose bites are poisonous took the opportunity to drink whatever little poison had fallen and scattered from Lord Shiva's hand while he was drinking. Purport. Mosquitoes, jackals, dogs and other varieties of dandashuka or animals whose bites are poisonous drank the poison of the Samudra Manthan, the churned ocean, since it was available after it fell from the palms of Lord Shiva. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe by Drinking Poison. Krishna. So first of all, I would like to seek blessings of senior devotees, especially Mataji, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and all the devotees present here before I could speak something about the verse that we are discussing this morning. Of course, the verse that we are talking about this morning is absolutely beyond my scope of realization to speak on. And there is not much I can say about this verse really. Because this verse talks about Lord Shiva taking voluntary suffering upon himself in order to deliver the fallen conditioned souls of this world. It's a very lofty ideal that most devotees can only aspire for. But we can take inspiration from these great souls to follow our aspiration. So it's definitely not something that I can elaborate upon. But share something from the scripture is what I could do. No realization and experience of this. This particular chapter, which is entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, gives very beautiful lessons. Three lessons in particular can be learned from this chapter. And the first lesson that we learn from this chapter is that the Lord always wants to give credit to His devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is capable of doing anything and everything in this universe. Yet at the same time, the Lord takes great pleasure to see that His devotee is glorified. And therefore, since the Lord wants to give credit to His devotees, the Lord many times puts the devotees into tasks and circumstances that He Himself can accomplish. Like for instance here, the Supreme Lord in this pastime of Samudra Manthan has appeared many, many times to save the demigods and to assist the demigods and demons in accomplishing this task. And therefore, the Lord is capable enough to even drink the poison that comes from the churning of the milk ocean. Yet, in order to glorify His devotee Lord Shiva, in order to give credit to His devotee Lord Shiva, the Lord asks the demigods to approach Lord Shiva to drink the halahal poison. That is the nature of the Lord, that He always wants to give credit to His devotees. And this is the nature of a devotee, that he always wants to give credit to the Lord. In the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find many, many such episodes where the Lord wants to give credit to His devotees. In the Madhya Leela, we find the chapter entitled Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins this particular chapter by comparing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to an ocean. Gaura Abdhihi. Abdhi means an ocean. Gaura Abdhi means the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This ocean is full of all siddhantic conclusions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is capable enough to give all siddhantas to the world. But in this particular verse, Srila Ramananda Rai is compared to a cloud. Rama Bhida Bhakta Meghe. Megha means a cloud and Abdhi means an ocean. The cloud evaporates water from the ocean. The cloud receives water from the ocean and showers water back again on the ocean. Similarly, Ramananda Rai, who is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, is taking all the conclusions from Lord Chaitanya, who is like an ocean, and is now once again speaking the same conclusions to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like a cloud showers rains on the ocean. So there is nothing that Ramananda Rai can offer to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Sarvagya Shiromani. He has knowledge of all Siddhantas. And not just Krishna, he is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And therefore no one can understand Radha Tattva more than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can understand about Radharani more than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Vasudev Ghosh has written, Radhar Mahima Prema Rasa Sima Jagat Janato Ke Jadi Gaur Na Hoito Tabe Ke Hoito Kemone Dhari Tamde. If Lord Chaitanya would not have come, there was no question of the world knowing about Srimati Radharani. But here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like a submissive disciple, you know, coming to the on the banks of the river Godavari to Rajmundri, Kaur, and requesting Ramananda Rai, you please speak to me about the glories of the Lord. You please speak to me, what is the ultimate goal of life, as if he does not know, as if he does not understand. And is giving full credit to Ramananda Rai. When Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai met for the first time, all these Brahmanas were around and therefore they restrained their ecstasies. And Ramananda Rai started speaking to Lord Chaitanya and said, my dear Lord, simply by seeing you, the Brahmanas around are purified and they are ecstatic. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, how can they be ecstatic? I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. Anyar ki katha ami Mayavadi sannyasi. What to speak of others? I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. What am I going to purify them? But simply by coming in contact with you, they are purified and I am purified. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya knew very well that I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. I need a change of heart. Therefore, he sent me to meet you. And therefore, we can see here that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving credit to Ramananda Rai. He has the capacity to speak about Radha Tattva, but he is giving the credit of speaking Radha Tattva to Ramananda Rai. On the other hand, Ramananda Rai wants to give credit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Rai is saying, my dear Lord, you are saying that I am speaking to you, but who am I? Ami Nartak. I am simply a puppet. And you are Sutradhar. You are the puppeteer. Just like a puppeteer makes a puppet dance, similarly, you are making me dance. You are making me speak this knowledge. And then he's saying that, my dear Lord, Mora Jivha Veena Yantra. My tongue is like a Veena. But you are Veena Dhar. Just like a Veena cannot play musical notes itself. But when a musician, an expert in playing Veena, holds the Veena in the hand, then the Veena can make sound. So my dear Lord, I may be a Veena, my tongue may be like a Veena, but you are the musician who is playing this Veena. So here we are finding that the Lord is giving credit to Ramananda Rai, that I am a Mayavadi, you speak to me. And Ramananda Rai is saying, no, 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 I am simply a Veena, you are the musician, you play the music. So that is the relationship between the Lord and his devotees. Lord wants to give credit to devotee, devotee wants to give credit to the Supreme Lord. Later in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Vallabh Bhatta coming to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts glorifying his devotees to Vallabh Bhatta. He says, my mind was so impure. I came in the association of Advaitacharya and in his association my mind became purified. And I am a Mayavadi. What Bhakti Siddhanta do I understand? But Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has taught me that how bhakti is the essence of all mystic yoga. And when it comes to rasa tattva, what rasa will a hard heart like mine understand? Ramananda Rai has soaked my heart in rasa tattva. And when it comes to chanting the holy name, I don't know how to chant the holy name. He is Yugavatar. Lord Chaitanya is Yugavatar. He says, I don't know how to chant the holy name. Haridas Thakur has taught me how to chant the holy names of Krishna. And then there are Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Vakreshwar Pandit, Kashishwar Pandit, Damodar Pandit, Jagdanand Pandit, many Pandits. You know, all of them have actually taught me how to render devotional service to Krishna. So here we find all this Lord Chaitanya has taught that. He has the capacity to do all of these things. But he's offering credits to all of these devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a collaboration between two avatars in giving credit. Here it is one avatar only, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Ramanand Rai's case and Vallabh Bhatta's case. But in Bhagavat, we find collaboration between, in fact, three avatars, not two. Three avatars in giving credit to a devotee. Yudhishthir Maharaj, sitting on the throne, despondent that I have been responsible for the killing of so many people. And Lord Krishna comes and says, Yudhishthir, it was your dharma. You fought for the sake of religion. Why are you desponding? You didn't do anything wrong. And Yudhishthir Maharaj did not get convinced. Krishna convinced Arjun, and Krishna has convinced so many people, and Yudhishthir Maharaj did not get convinced. And then when Yudhishthir was not convinced, Leela Avatar, in the Shaktyavesh Avatar, Vyasdev came. And when Vyasdev came to convince Yudhishthir Maharaj, still Yudhishthir Maharaj was not convinced. And then Paramatma in the heart of Yudhishthir Maharaj is the third avatar, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. You know, so there is a collaboration between Purna Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Shaktyavesh avatar Vyasdev, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu as his expansion, the Guna avatar. The Purusha avatar, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu in the heart. So Leela avatar, Shaktyavesha avatar and Purusha avatar are in collaboration with each other to make Yudhishthir convinced that yes, I am responsible for this war. No one's words are convincing him. Why? Because it was a collaboration to glorify Pitamaha Bhishma. The Lord wanted to fulfill the desire of Bhishma to see that Yudhishthir was and the Pandavas were coronated, and also to glorify Bhishma, give credit to Bhishma for his wisdom. So then the Lord instructs Yudhishthir and all the Pandavas, you dress up gorgeously and go to the battlefield. And then all the Pandavas come, and then Yudhishthir Maharaj asks questions to Bhishma Pitamaha, and the Lord has capacity to answer all these questions, by the way. Vyasdev has the capacity to answer all these questions. And Paramatma definitely in the heart has the capacity to also answer his questions for Yudhishthir. But simply to give credit to Bhishma and to glorify Bhishma, the Lord does this. And therefore, we find here also that although the Lord was capable of drinking the poison himself, the Lord directed the demigods to go to Lord Shiva so that Lord Shiva is glorified. Similarly, Lord Krishna chose Srila Prabhupada as his instrument. And Lord Krishna wanted to give all credit to Srila Prabhupada. Like one time a disciple came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, such great souls, empowered acharyas, your own Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such an empowered acharya, why didn't they spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Srila Prabhupada replied, they spared that job for me. They wanted to give the credit to me. And therefore the Lord and the entire Guru Parampara did not accomplish the task of Prithivicha Achyata Nagaradigram because they saved that task for Srila Prabhupada so that he gets the credit. Like Krishna did not drink the poison himself. Vishnu did not drink the poison himself because he saved that credit for Lord Shiva. So Shiva is glorified. You see. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada never took that credit for himself. Although Krishna wants to give a credit, but devotee never wants to take a credit for himself. And therefore, one time someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, your face looks exactly like your Guru Maharaj. You look exactly like your Guru Maharaj. Now someone came and said, a disciple looked like, saw Prabhupada and said, you look exactly like your Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada said, no. My Guru Maharaj is like gold, I am like iron. Don't compare. And Srila Prabhupada always said in his English, you know, he used to call a peon a peon. I was simply like a postal peon. Always gave the credit to Krishna. Always gave the credit to the parampara. One disciple came and said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are like a cow. We keep milking you. Constantly keep taking from you. We keep milking you, but your milk doesn't get over only. How is it, Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada said, because I am a Surabhi cow. You know, because I am a Surabhi cow, my milk does not get over. But Srila Prabhupada very few times expressed that it was he who was empowered. Always, almost always, Srila Prabhupada kept giving credit to other devotees. He kept giving credit not to the Guru Parampara, but even to younger devotees. Gurudas Prabhu in Amritsar came for this big conference where these Mayavadis were speaking. And he had given some really strong examples. So then the organizer of the conference was very upset. And he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, your disciples, your American disciples speak very offensively. Here all these Indian gentlemen are speaking. What do they think? They know so much. They're speaking so offensively. So Srila Prabhupada said, what did they say? So this personality, he said, this American gentleman, you know, your disciple Gurudas, he is saying that, you know, if you are saying everything is one, then the halwa in the plate and the stool on the street is also one. So why don't you start eating stool? This is too much. So Srila Prabhupada said, oh, they are American boys and girls. They give very graphic examples. You know, Srila Prabhupada said they give very graphic examples. And then he kind of pacified this person and this person left. And then Srila Prabhupada turned to Gurudas Prabhu and said, very good example. Excellent example you gave. And as if to learn from Gurudas Prabhu, giving credit to him, he said, can I use this example in my lectures anytime? You see? Now, does he need to give that credit? It's the knowledge is given to him by whom? Srila Prabhupada. What is Mayavad? What is Vaishnavad? Everything was spoken by Srila Prabhupada. But he wanted to give credit to his devotees. Many times you would hear Srila Prabhupada saying, that what am I? I am simply an old man. What do? I don't do anything. I eat nice prasad. I only take rest. And these young American boys and girls, European boys and girls, are working hard and pushing forward the Krishna consciousness movement. And I, like an old man, is getting all the credit. Many times Prabhupada would say like this. And on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, Srila Prabhupada spoke. And what did he say? He said, I am nothing. My Guru Maharaj has sent all of you to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. You are all sent by my Guru Maharaj to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. I am simply an assistant. One time someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, there are 12 Mahajans mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You are the 13th Mahajan. Prabhupada said, you are the 14th. You know, always kept giving credit to all his disciples as well, you know. So therefore we find that it is the nature of the Lord to give credit to his devotees, and it is the nature of the devotee to give credit to the Lord and to other devotees. And therefore we find Vaishnavas always want to offer credits not just to other devotees, not just to other the Lord, but to anyone who has been responsible for giving certain things in our life. Like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, you know, in his book, The Journey Home, he glorifies his mother. Now, born in an American family in Chicago, but he glorifies his mother for the values that his mother inculcated in him. And such amazing values. You know, values like giving thank, the gratitude, thanking everyone for the smallest gift that is got. Values like always keeping things clean and leaving a place cleaner than before. And inculcating this basic tenets of God consciousness, which later fructify by the blessings of the mother and father, the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, in Krishna consciousness. And therefore,
we find in this book that he is giving credit to his mother also for small, small things that he learned, because that is the quality of a devotee. Today is 11th of December, and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's mother passed away on the 11th of December. So today is like her disappearance day, and we all offer prayer to the Lord for that he showers choicest blessings upon his mother. Right. So we find that it is the nature of the Lord to give credit to his devotees, and devotees to give credit to the Lord, and also to all those responsible for our Krishna consciousness. The second very wonderful lesson we learn from this chapter is that when Lord Shiva takes this poison, here it says, Tachya Sadhor Vibhushanam. This black mark on Lord Shiva's neck, because of which is called Neelakantha, Shitikantha, Kalakantha, all names for Lord Shiva. That becomes Tachya Sadhor Vibhushanam. It becomes a Vibhushana. It becomes an ornament on the neck of Lord Shiva. It is explained that Lord Shiva drank poison, but he did not die. Rahu drank nectar, but when Sudarshan Chakra was whirled by Mohini Murti, the part which nectar reached, the head remained, but the entire body was dead. So we find Lord Shiva drinking poison and living. We find Rahu drinking nectar, but his body is dead, only his head is saved. We find that Lord Shiva drinking poison, but that poison becomes an ornament on his neck, Vibhushan. We find Rahu drinking nectar, but that face, which that his head which is still alive, is an inauspicious omen. No one considers that as Vibhushanam. Right? Everyone considers Rahu Dasha, Shani Dasha. Why? It's considered as an inauspicious omen. So apparently, Shiva is drinking poison, but is glorified. And Rahu is drinking nectar, but is condemned. As is an inauspicious comet, as is inauspicious graha. Why? Why is this so? Because it's not poison or nectar. It is the selfless compassion of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is drinking poison, and is digesting that poison based on his capacity out of boundless, selfless compassion, as is explained in this verse, Tapyante Lokatapena, for all the suffering souls of this humanity. And therefore, apparently something that is looked at in a negative way becomes an ornament. On the other hand, Rahu, apparently something that is very glorified, nectar. But because he's so selfish and simply wants to drink this nectar to make himself immortal and not give immortality to others, even the nectar that one drinks becomes a scar on his personality. He's condemned. He's considered as an inauspicious omen. You see? And therefore, when one wants to give immortality to others selflessly, an apparent shortcoming becomes a strength. And when one wants to keep that immortality to oneself selfishly, then an apparent ornament becomes a scar. You see? And therefore we see that even in the case of Srinivas Thakur, and I think who was that personality who tried to blaspheme? Ramchandra Khan, was he? Who put all that... Gopal Chapal. You see? Apparently, Gopal Chapal was a big Brahman, you know, and here he was trying to defame Srinivas Thakur by putting all of these things in front of Srinivas Thakur. And if you apparently see, yes, that would have brought defamy to him. But everyone in the town, everyone in Navadvip knew Srinivas Thakur. Selfless compassion to everyone. So Srinivas Thakur was glorified and Gopal Chapal was condemned. Even Srila Prabhupada, apparent poverty, apparent troubles, heart attacks on Jaladuta, so many troubles in his life. But all of his difficulties only glorified Srila Prabhupada because of his boundless, selfless compassion unto others. So many rich people went to the West to do their business, but no one is glorified like that. You see, Srila Prabhupada was in poverty, practically less than a dollar he had with him, two heart attacks on board Jaladuta, a trunk with some books and a set of clothes and an umbrella. No one glorifies someone for a trunk of books No one glorifies someone saying just a dollar he carried. But because of his selfless compassion, Srila Prabhupada was glorified. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, the businessman came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, why have you come to the West? Srila Prabhupada said, what are you? He said, I am a businessman. He said, why did you come to the West? He said, better prospects, Swamiji. He said, same with me. You know, I saw better aspects of preaching in the West. So I came. Srila Prabhupada did not go to the West to make business. Srila Prabhupada did not go to the West to imitate the lifestyles of Westerners. Srila Prabhupada went to the West out of his boundless compassion, and therefore all the apparent so-called troubles, austerities, failures became glorified like an ornament. Just like for Lord Shiva, something that is apparently dangerous and condemned, poison, becomes an ornament on his neck, and he is called Neelakantha, Shitikantha, Kalakantha. And the third lesson that we learn from this chapter, of course, is the compassion of Lord Shiva. How Lord Shiva is willing to take upon himself such severe amount of trouble, tapyante lokata pena, willing to go through so much suffering in order to benefit humanity at large. And this principle is also very well seen in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the chapter which is entitled Advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the scene before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He explains, Prabhur Avirbhava Purve Jata Vaishnavagan. Prabhur Avirbhava Purve. Before the appearance of the Lord, Jata Vaishnavagan, all the Vaishnavas, what would they do? Advaita Acharyar Sthane Karena Gaman. All the Vaishnavas would go to the house of Srila Advaita Acharya. And in the house of Advaita Acharya, what would they do? Tarasangyananda Kare Vaishnavera Gan. In the house of Advaita Acharya, in that association, Ananda Kare. They were in great ecstasy. They were in great joy. Why? Krishna Katha, Krishna Puja, Nama Sankirtan. In the house of Advaita Acharya, they would do Krishna Katha, they would do Krishna Puja, they would do Nama Sankirtan and Ananda Kore. They were in great ecstasy. And this ecstasy, this joy, leads to suffering. Joy always leads to suffering. Material happiness leads to material suffering. Spiritual happiness leads to suffering born out of compassion. They were all enjoying in the association of each other. And while they were enjoying, suddenly Advaita Acharya goes into a flip-flop mode. You know, here he is with all the Vaishnavas enjoying ecstasy. Tara Sange Ananda Kore Vaishnavera Gand Krishna Puja Krishna Katha Nama Sankirtan. They are in ecstasy in the association of each other, and suddenly from flip there is a flop mode for Advaita Acharya. Ecstasy leads to distress for him. Not distress because of frustration, distress because of compassion. And what does Advaita Acharya see? Kintu Sarva Loka Dekhi Hoy Bahirmukh. Although they are in ecstasy, only this few devotees in his house, he sees the rest of the world is not in ecstasy. We are in ecstasy, but they are in misery. And it's not right that only we keep enjoying, they should also enjoy. In this world, when we enjoy, we want to keep the enjoyment to ourselves and not share our care. But when it comes to great souls, they are enjoying and they don't want to keep their enjoyment to themselves. They want to spread their enjoyment to others. And if others are not enjoying, they suffer. Therefore, Kintu Sarva Loka Dekhi Hoy Bahirmukh, seeing that others are not Krishna conscious, Vishaya Nimagna Loka Dekhi Paye Bada Dukh. When Advaita Acharya sees that all of them are Vishaya Nimagna, absorbed in sense gratification, Paye Bada Dukh, he becomes greatly distressed. So this is a classic combination of two emotions together. And Vaishnavas, exalted Vaishnavas, go through this combination of two opposite emotions together. How can one be happy and distressed simultaneously at the same time? But Vaishnavas go through these two emotions simultaneously. They go through Ananda because there is Krishna Puja, Krishna Naam, Krishna Sankirtan in the association of devotees. But that Ananda leads to the exact contrary emotion of Dukkha. Vishay Nimagna Dekhi Paaye Bada Dukkha. Seeing that they are not getting Krishna consciousness, there is a contrary emotion in the middle of that joy. Thinking like this, Advaitacharya is now, distressed. Lokera vistara nistara hetu karena chintan. And then lokera nistar. How to deliver these people? Korena chintan. He starts thinking. So first ananda. Ananda leads to dukkha. Dukkha leads to chintan. How can I deliver these people? How can I try to help these people? Kemona e sab lokeer hoy be taran. How will these people be delivered? So there is ananda, dukkha, chintana, and from chintana comes prarthana or prayer. So all of these emotions are going on together. They are in ecstasy. Advaitacharya is in ecstasy. That leads to distress, seeing the suffering of others. That leads to chintan of how I can deliver. And that chintan leads to prayer on the banks of river Ganga, where he is offering tulsi leaves to Shaligram and praying, "My dear Lord, please come." And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also, tapyante lokatapena, going through this distress. He was at Radha Damodar temple in ecstasy, absolutely in ecstasy. He didn't need to leave Radha Damodar temple. He didn't need to leave the spiritual world, in fact. Srila Prabhupada one time said to his disciples that I was in the spiritual world and Lord Krishna told me, you go to the material world. And I said, no, I am here with you. Why should I go? These people, Kali Yuga, what a horrible age. And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna told me, you don't worry, you go. I'll take care of the rest of the things. You just go. Here is Srila Prabhupada in ecstasy in the association of Krishna. Here is Srila Prabhupada in ecstasy at Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, in the association of his senior exalted God brothers. But tapyante loka tapena. Ananda, this joy of Krishna consciousness is not joy unless it leads to distress. If one thinks that I am only experiencing joy in Krishna consciousness without experiencing this distress for others, then it is not joy that comes from Krishna consciousness. If one actually experiences joy of Krishna consciousness, simultaneously one also has to experience distress for the fallen conditioned souls. And therefore here we find Srila Prabhupada going through this, And therefore Srila Prabhupada was a well-wishing friend to everyone. Wanting to do benefit to others, wanting to help others. He could not see the distress of others. One time Srila Prabhupada was standing at a bus stop and he started crying. Why he started crying? Because there was a big queue, for people to board the bus. We also go to railway station, we start crying. Seeing big queue and when will my turn come for the ticket? Srila Prabhupada started crying and weeping because he was thinking, what a hard struggle or material existence these people have to go through. How these people have to suffer just to board a bus and make a living. My God, he had tears in his eyes. Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur and he saw these little kids, taking the remnants of some prasad plates that were thrown. Some dogs were eating and they went and they were taking the remnants and eating. Srila Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. Here he was experiencing the greatest joy of Krishna consciousness, but that joy also brought along with it the emotion of dukkha for others suffering. Para dukkha dukhi. And therefore he started the Food for Life program, that no one in this particular area of Mayapur Chandruday Mandir should go hungry. You see? So Srila Prabhupada was definitely going through this pain, so much pain, he tolerated so much. In trying to give Krishna consciousness, he tolerated so much. He tolerated life threats. He tolerated madness of people. He tolerated people in the Bowery. Prithu Prabhu was telling a story of how, one time he was sitting in at Hippie Hill, San Francisco, I believe. And as he was sitting there, one old man came there. And he said, that Swami who started the Hare Krishna movement, the stuff that he started, he was a cool cat, wasn't he? He said like that, He was a cool cat, wasn't he? And Prithupur was thinking, what happened? He said, actually, when that Swami was in the Bowery in New York, I was also there, you know, and I saw what the Swami had to go through, you know, to start this whole movement. And then he said, actually, I might say that Swami was in Bowery and I was in the Bowery, but the sheep was born in the barn and Jesus was also born in the barn. So I'm not comparing, you know. Jesus was born in a barn and there was other cattle in the barn, but there's no comparison. They said, yes, I was in the Bowery, Swamiji was also in the Bowery, but he was in a class of his own, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness. What Srila Prabhupada did not have to tolerate, you know, once going in a car to Dr. Mishra's studio, I told the story before, one devotee driving the car, not yet a full devotee driving the car, Prabhupada was very hungry, there was nothing to eat. So Prabhupada said, is there anything to eat? He said, yes, Swamiji, I only have an apple. And he ate half the apple and gave half to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada ate half of that apple. Now here was someone who probably, you know, did not even eat anything leftovers of anyone like that. And here he was willing to tolerate all of this trouble and suffering to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And he was not only concerned with human beings. Vasudev Datta was concerned about taking the sufferings of all jivas upon him to send all of the jivas back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada also was not simply concerned about human beings. Srila Prabhupada, one time a newly initiated disciple was sitting and Srila Prabhupada told him, so what is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement? What is our duty? What is our mission? So he was confused. He didn't know what to say. So he kept quiet. Again Srila Prabhupada said, so what is the duty of a devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement? He didn't know what to say. So Prabhupada got down from the Vyasasana, knelt down on his knees, and there was an ant there. And Srila Prabhupada said, the goal of our Krishna consciousness movement is if we can send even this ant back home, back to Godhead. You know? So he wasn't just concerned simply with human beings. He told, even if this ant can be sent back to Godhead, this will also be the perfection of our Krishna consciousness movement. And to this effect, Srila Prabhupada was constantly doing the third thing, chintan. He was not just absorbed in joy and not just feeling the distress for others, but he was also doing chintan, how to benefit others. At Radha Damodar Mandir, he was constantly meditating on the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami to get that inspiration of how to deliver the conditioned souls. Gopal Chand Goswami, he was telling the story that one time Srila Prabhupada, he had a severe cold and he went and met Srila Prabhupada that night, and he was practically not able to sleep the whole night. The next morning, Srila Prabhupada met Gopal Chand Goswami, so he asked Srila Prabhupada, so how are you feeling, Swamiji? And Prabhupada said, I am okay. So he says, the way Srila Prabhupada said okay was very mysterious. He said, I wasn't very satisfied that only his cold was okay. You know, definitely his cold was all right, better than before. But he said, I am okay very mysteriously. So I asked Swamiji again, Swamiji, you're saying you're okay. What is okay? Prabhupada replied that last night my Guru Maharaj came and gave me instructions how to write purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, now I feel everything is okay. You know, how to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. And then a couple of months later, Gopal Chand Goswami again went, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting and chanting his rounds and he was crying tears. So he wasn't able to understand why. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, why are you weeping? So he said, what should I say? Such a big burden my Guru Maharaj and the Parampara has left on my shoulders. And I feel myself so incapable. But last night, Roop Goswami and Sanatan Goswami came and gave me instructions of how to preach Krishna consciousness. And therefore, what can I do but weep tears of gratitude that I am not alone, but they are there to help me. They are there behind me to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So then Harishauri Prabhu went to Srila Prabhupada, and it was the news of the town. So he went and he said, Srila Prabhupada, we heard that Rupa Goswami came to tell you how to preach Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, he didn't say anything. Again he insisted, Prabhupada, I think Rupa Goswami came to tell you. Srila Prabhupada said, that's common, that everyone knows. What's the big thing? That everyone knows that Rupa Goswami is giving that power, you know, to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. So Srila Prabhupada was not just going through the bliss, ananda, and not just feeling the distress, dukkha, but there was chintan, constant chintan, constant prayer. That chintan, how to preach, made him pray. Constantly pray to Krishna, please appear in the society that I am starting, ISKCON. Like Advaitacharya was praying, my dear Lord, please appear to save these people. Prabhupada was praying, please appear in this society that I am starting. Otherwise, there is no hope. And therefore, when he was said, you please name your society, International Society for God Consciousness, he said, no, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And one devotee was saying, if you would have named God Consciousness, then the society would be called ISKCON and the essence of everything would be gone. One devotee was mentioning, you know, it would be called ISKCON and the whole essence would be gone. So he named International Society for Krishna Consciousness in particular. Srila Prabhupada was constantly praying that, please, my dear Lord, appear in my words. Like Advaitacharya was praying to Lord Chaitanya to appear. He was praying, please appear in my words. The Markine Bhagavad Dharma is all about that. My dear Lord, I do not know how they will understand my words. Please appear in my words so that these words make sense to them. He had such a thick accent. What would these American boys and girls follow? You know, he said once, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save you. And they thought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to shave you. They were scared because of his accent. You know. And the people who were transcribing from his dictaphone, Srila Prabhupada was giving dictates on Sanatan Goswami and they wrote Santon Goswami. Instead of Sanatan, the spelling was S-O-N-T-O-N, Santon Goswami. What they would follow? So Prabhupada was praying, please appear in my words so that these people understand. Srila Prabhupada was constantly praying to Krishna, please appear in these deities, you know, so that people can get that is your mercy. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada in Australia, he was praying to Radha Gopinath, I have installed you, but these boys and girls, they don't know how to take care of you. Please take care of yourself. You know, till I come back, please take care of yourself. He was praying, you appear in these forms. He was praying, you please appear in these books. And it is this prayer that ISKCON, the words of Srila Prabhupada, the books of Srila Prabhupada, the deities in Srila Prabhupada's temples have Krishna. And because they have Krishna, there is transformation. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. And Srila Prabhupada had to endure so much to be able to establish what is put on a platter for all of us today. And we are enjoying the benefits that Srila Prabhupada has given us after having gone through so much. Tapyante Loka Tapena. Like Lord Shiva, for the benefit of everyone willing to drink this poison. And all we can do is, we don't have that compassion, at least for me, all of you may. I don't have that compassion. But if we can simply assist Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers in trying to be an instrument of that compassion, that itself is purification for us. So this particular chapter gives us these three beautiful lessons of how the Lord wants to give credit to his devotee and devotee wants to give credit to the Lord. How an apparent failure may turn an ornament if it is self out of selfless compassion to serve. And thirdly, how a devotee is willing to go through so much suffering to benefit the humanity at large. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Vau.